You know, somebody said about what I just said, you know, if it wasn't so serious, it'd be funny. No, it's still funny. Even if it's serious, that's right, it's still funny. Isn't that what was it? One of the prophets told him. He's laughing at him.
Yeah,
mocking at them false prophets. Go on, cry a little louder. Maybe your God's asleep. Yeah. Cut a little deeper. You know?
Yeah.
Don't make fun of anybody. You might offend them. If you're not preaching the truth and telling the truth. If you're not offending people, you're not telling the truth.
That's true.
That's right. You're not telling, and I mean just about everything. No matter what facet of life it is, if you're not offending people, you're not telling the truth. And I know there are people that say, I don't agree with that. Well, you're wrong. There's enough of us that know what you know, truth is not loved in this world, no matter what truth it is. People want you to pet them. You know? Oh, poor you. Anyway, I need to get on with this. Well, I tell you, I get tired of seeing people placate or trying to placate the world.
Yeah.
Because the world hates God's truth.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
And when you begin to think that somehow they're going to be a friend to you, you're in for a rude awakening. You will turn your back one day and they will stab you in the back, spiritually speaking. It happens. It always happens. Now, what is faith? Been on this for several Sundays now. We have, at least to some degree, certainly not, haven't covered everything, but we have looked at the source of faith. The source of faith is what?
Christ.
Right? As a matter of fact, Scripture even says that faith is the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
And yet, religious people say faith comes from free will. Now, who is right, them or God?
Exactly.
Them or the Scripture. I go with the Scripture.
Yes, sir.
And you do too. The source of faith is Christ. The nature of faith, in that it has Christ as its source, in that faith is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. The nature of faith is divine. Faith is not a human quality.
Nope. That's right.
Faith is what God gives to His people.
Amen.
It's not even something God works on you and makes you able to have. It's simply what God gives.
Amen.
Faith in God's people is not something God's done in us. It's what He's done to us. The object of faith is Christ.
Amen.
I'm not going to go all the way back through all of this, but any so-called faith that doesn't have Christ as its object is not the faith of God's elect.
That's it.
Period.
Yeah.
Christ is the object of faith. Now we're going to look at the necessity of faith. Now, you know, I suppose everyone who professes to be a Christian would agree that faith is necessary. What they don't agree on is why. Or in what way is faith necessary? Now, faith is necessary because God purposed its necessity. And that ought to be enough reason for any of us. Right? Whether we understood the object of faith, you know, all of these other things. If we're looking at the necessity of faith, if God says it's necessary, then that settles it.
Yes, sir.
God purposed this necessity. As the text verse I began with tells us, Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that is He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith pleases God.
Amen.
Therefore, faith is what? Necessary.
Necessary.
Right? It's necessary. Now that is to say, faith pleases God, for it honors him in the person of the Son, to whom it looks, to whom it comes, and to whom it diligently seeks. According to our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 5, if you're following along, you can turn there. Just a few verses I want to read. Now this, I know this is probably quite evident to most everyone here this morning, but not everybody gets it. I mean, there are a lot of people who, well, I believe in God. You know? Jesus is just another part of this religious thing. Of course, they believe in Jesus, Mason. Historically, he's a part of it. He's a part of the Bible. But as long as you believe in God, you're all right. Isn't that what they say? What does Scripture say? I mean, I've said it over and over again during this series. The devils believe and tremble.
Yes, sir.
The devils believe in God. And they tremble at God.
Yes, sir.
The devils even bowed to the authority of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Indeed.
Right? We know who you are.
Yeah. Do you mind?
Are you come to torment us before our time? You know, the reason I say that is not to sound deep. I say that because it's in God's book. I say that because that lets me know that there is a faith that don't cut it.
That's right.
Right? There's a faith that's not genuine. It's not real. And there have been people. Now, can I say this 100% absolutely of individuals? No. Because I don't know the heart. Only God knows those that are His. But I have to go by what the book says. There are some people. They went out from us because they were not of us. Because had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us.
Amen.
So there are some who in leaving do so because they despise the person of Jesus Christ and His truth. And there have been people even here that have left here out of hatred for Christ.
Exactly.
And the sad thing is, for a while, they put on a good show. And the next thing you know, they could care less about Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
That's sad. That's dangerous. Well, I even read of a group of people, they evidently made it to the end. And like I say, I keep mentioning these things, but this is in the context of faith. Believing.
Yeah.
We talk about the necessity of faith. And faith is necessary, but there are some people who lean on their faith.
Yeah.
They trust in their faith. Their faith looks to itself.
Yeah.
When the faith of God's elect looks to Christ.
Amen.
But I read of a group of people, they the old passage, our Lord said it, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Yes, sir.
But notice that is singular, particular. You notice he didn't say all who endure unto the end shall be saved, did he? It's not a matter of just the fact of enduring to the end. That's the whole point. There are some whom our Lord said will endure unto the end. And in that day, they will say, in that last day, they will say, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? Did many wonderful works in your name? We cast out demons in your name. And our Lord will look at them and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you.
Amen.
Now that truth frightens me. I mean, it frightens me. Because it lets me know some people, it is not only is it possible, it is a reality, and it will be finally realized in the end. There are people who expect God to let them in.
Yeah.
And He will refuse to.
Yes, sir.
And of course, remember the Christ who, He didn't say, well, you know, I'm just so sorry. You just didn't get it. I feel bad for you. Is that what He said? No. He says, depart from me. Get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I didn't know you. You may have knew all about me. That's not the point.
That's right.
The point is, I didn't know you. In our day and age, when people talk about the necessity of faith, they think faith's something I do for God.
Yeah, they do.
Now, don't they? That's how you get saved.
That's how they teach.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's what faith's what you do for God. And that makes their faith nothing more than works.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And justification and reconciliation and righteousness before God is not by works. As I've said, I think I even said it last Sunday during Unibel's the memorial service. You know, faith is not our Savior. Repentance is not our Savior. Being a member of the local assembly is not our Savior. Baptism is not our Savior. Faith is not necessary in that sense. Faith is not your Savior. You can't have enough faith to get God to save you.
Yeah, that's right. That's it.
But yeah, this is what people are preaching. Somehow, here are these people out here in front of me while I'm preaching. If you just come up with faith, God will help you out. Mm-hmm. Right? Isn't that what they're saying?
Oh, yeah.
They say it in many different ways. You take the first step, God will meet you halfway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the truth is, bless God, if I can take the first step, I don't need God. I can make the rest of them.
Exactly.
Because the first step is to come out of the grave spiritually.
Amen.
The first step is to raise yourself from the dead.
Exactly.
And if you can do that, you don't need God.
Exactly. That's it.
Because we're all born dead in trespasses and in sins. And the first step, that is as far as me, for me, is for me to come out of that dead grave, that spiritual grave. And that takes an act of God.
Yes.
Now the reason most people don't like that is why? Because that puts God in charge.
Exactly.
That means God saves who He wants to save, and God sends to hell who He wants to send to hell.
Pretty much.
And they say, well, that can't be right because God wants everybody to go to heaven. And I don't find that at all.
Yes, sir.
I find that there's at least some men that God said concerning even their evil, ungodly doctrine, denying the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were before of old ordained to this condemnation.
Amen.
And you wasting your time if you're trying to get one of them saved.
Exactly.
Right? There are some folks that Peter said after they've known the truth, they turn from the holy commandment which was delivered unto them. And they're like a dog that's turned to its own vomit. Or it's like they're like a sow that's been washed that turns again to their wallowing in the mire.
Yes, sir.
What does religion say? Well, just try to get them back. Go chase them down.
Yeah.
Well, David, we were talking about this the other day. Well, me and you and a couple others, I think. Just go get them, you know. No, Peter said it'd been better for them not to have known the way of truth than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened to them, that true proverb. They were washed. They were cleaned up. They turned back.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous ground.
Yes, sir.
That's right, it's dangerous ground. Faith is necessary because God purposed its necessity. Faith pleases God. You see, if a person has faith, they think they have faith is the fact, but they, I'm going to go forward, I'm going to pray that sinner's prayer, I'm going to tell the Lord I'm a sinner, and I'm going to tell Him I'm sorry, and I'm going to ask Him to save me. If that's the kind of faith they got a faith that's not trying to please God, but a faith that's trying to miss hell. Let me tell you something. God deserves to be believed even if we went to hell afterwards. Even if heaven wasn't an end goal.
That's right.
Even if we still had to go to hell, God deserves to be believed.
Amen.
He's God, and it pleases Him.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
See, most people, let me tell you, salvation is a very selfish thing.
Yeah.
Besides one point, the glory of God.
Yes, sir.
Salvation is personal. Salvation is between me and God. And I cannot do anything, and I cannot say enough, do enough, to help God save me,
exactly.
Let alone to help God save somebody else. And when it comes down to who has it and who really don't, the only person I can really do anything about or even really consider anything about is me.
That's it.
Well, I can't make you know it or not know it. I can't help you know it or not know it. I may help you the wrong way. I may tell you you don't have it when you do, and that causes you to doubt God. I may tell you you do have it when you don't, and that gives you a false hope. So faith, in one sense, this saying of salvation, is very personal.
Yes, sir.
Very self-centered in that sense. As it says about that straight and narrow way. I heard one preacher say it this way, and I think it's a good depiction. And the thing about that straight and narrow way is you go in by yourself.
Yes, sir.
You don't say, well, I'm going in with everybody else. If they don't go, I won't go. No, when God calls you, you go in that way, and you go in that way by yourself. You don't take everybody else along with you. God calls his sheep, how? By name.
Amen.
By name. But there's one thing that in this thing of salvation, in this thing of faith, there's one thing God will not share.
Yes, sir.
That's his glory.
Amen.
He said so through the Old Testament prophet. My glory I will not share with another. So there's faith, again I say, pleases God, for it honors him in the person of the Son, to whom it looks, to whom it comes, to whom it diligently seeks. Now let me read John 5. I said all of that just to get here to this passage. Look at what he says. Let me look at verse 17. Just start there for proper context. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God.
Yes, sir.
Then answered Jesus and said unto them, truly, truly, or that is verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now there is that one group of folk that says, see right here, this proves Jesus Christ wasn't equal with God. Come on, give me a break. You know? Well, you know, he can't do nothing himself, Joe. He's powerless other than through the Father. Now people that interpret scripture like that, they do so to make it mean whatever they blessed well want it to mean. They've got their idea of what they're going to preach, what they believe, where they stand, and they will twist the words. What is Jesus Christ saying? I never, ever act independently of the Father.
That's right.
That's what he's saying. He's not saying I have no power except what God gives me. Crazy stuff. Now look at what it says, though. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater things than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth, what's that say? Whom he will.
Amen.
Now does God ask permission of a physically dead person? Does he ever ask him, will you let me raise you from the dead? Huh? He don't even say, all you got to do is blink your eyelash and I'll raise you from the dead. Why? Because a dead man can't do anything.
That's right.
But one thing he can do, he can stink. That's right, he can rot and stink. No, but as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will.
Amen.
For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now think about this. Now this is not merely in the area of condemnation. He's not talking about hail here. He's talking about the Son judges whom he's going to quicken and whom he's not going to quicken.
Yes, sir.
That's the context of this. But look at why. That all should honor. Now it doesn't say men. That men's put in there. It just says that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father that has sent him. So when a person says, well, I believe in God, I just don't believe in that Christ y'all preach. Well, if that Christ we preach is the Christ of God, you reject him, you reject God.
Yes, sir.
If he is.
Exactly.
And I say the one we preach is that one. He quickens whom he will.
Amen.
Now, Earl has said it. I have said it. Joe has said it. Other men who stood in this place have said it. We may not always say it exactly this way with these exact words. But if God chose you before the foundation of the world, he will save you in time.
Amen.
You are his. Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross, he bought the elect with his own blood.
Yes, sir.
He purchased them with his blood price. They are his already. And when that time comes that he's pleased to bring them down and conquer them and bring them to faith in Christ, they'll come.
Amen. Yes, sir.
They're just going to come.
That's right.
But, you know, what if we don't pray for them? Who prayed for Abram?
Yeah.
Right? Who was praying for Abram?
Yeah.
When he lived down there in Ur of the Chaldees, worshiping the moon and the sun. Nobody else knew God, did they? I'll tell you who prayed for him. Jesus Christ prayed for him.
Amen. That's it.
That's who prayed for him. Bless God. All that the Father giveth me, our Lord said, what? They'll come to me.
Amen.
And they'll be glad when they do.
Yes, sir.
That's the thing about it. God can save you. God will save his people. And he makes them glad for it too.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You see, true repentance need not ever be repented of.
Exactly.
And if anybody's ever sorrowful, ever, boy, I wish I'd have never even started down this path, then you might as well leave.
Yeah.
I say that right. Get up right now, walk out that door, get in your vehicle, go home and never show up here again. Yeah, do it if you can. That's the whole point. Oh, because let me tell you something. When God saves you, you will become sick of yourself. And you'll be in a constant state of saying, I wish I was not like I am. But you will never say, I wish God was not like he is. That's right. Faith cannot say that. Faith cannot say that. Like our Lord Jesus Christ said, remember that great multitude? They got mad at him because he offended them.
Oh, yeah.
He said, doth this offend you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yep.
Is that what he said?
No,
he said, does this offend you? I got something else to tell you. And he told him something else. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Amen.
You know, he said, that's offensive to you? I got another one for you to hear.
That's right.
And it says, from that time forward, many of his disciples walked no more with him.
Amen.
And he turned to the 12 and said, are you going to leave too?
That's right. Amen.
That's right, go on. Yep. Leave if you can. And what did Peter say, Lord? To whom shall we go?
Amen.
You know, I got no place else to go.
Amen.
You know? See, that's the thing. And it's not that you can't leave. You can physically leave.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can physically quit and give it up. But you can't get rid of it down in here. Huh? You see, the necessity of faith is not that one who is not accepted by God might become accepted by God. Now that is the major theme of most so-called Baptists, Presbyterians, Methodist, Church of God, Pentecostal, Episcopalian, and even non-denominational, and everything else that calls itself Christian. The way to be accepted of God is to have faith. The Bible never says that. You know, it doesn't, does it? Nowhere. Nowhere. Yet they preach it. They even preach this. You need to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Scripture never says that. You see, the word acceptance implies a disparity.
Yeah.
Now, come on now. Yeah. I ain't no English major, but I know that much.
Yeah.
It's just like the word tolerance.
Right.
Tolerance. Everybody, we ought to be tolerant. Tolerance means somebody is better than me or less than me.
Right.
Tolerance implies disparity. Okay? So does acceptance. Acceptance says this: somebody is above another. And they have to what? Accept them. You see, the truth of Scripture, and it's clearly declared, we don't accept Christ, He must accept us.
Amen.
And according to Scripture, and I have this one. Now, I guess it's probably going to surprise some of you all that I go to this passage, but it's Ephesians chapter 1. That surprises y'all. I go to that one, don't I? He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now that's good, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that even sounds good.
Yes, sir.
Right? Even if you don't understand it all, it sounds good.
Yes, sir.
And I ain't yet heard one person that professes to be a Christian get upset with reading those three verses.
Yeah.
They got no trouble with that until you read the next one. According as, that means the all that who hath blessed us, past tense, not is blessing us, but has blessed us with all, right? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And how has He done it? According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now they say, you know, I don't understand that either. But it can't mean what it says.
That's exactly
what they say. Huh? I've heard them say that. Now this doesn't mean God chose you before the world began. Well, if it don't, then why does it say it?
Exactly.
Well, it says according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love.
Amen.
Now here's the question. How can I be that?
Yeah.
Right? Now look. That we should be holy and without blame before who?
Yeah.
Him.
Amen.
We ain't talking about looking good in one another's eyes. Because we can put on airs. We can put on a show for one another. Right? Come on now, we can do that.
Oh, yeah.
And when we come here, we can put on a pretty good show. And we can leave, go home, hide in our bedroom somewhere, and nobody else knows what's going on. Except for one person. God Almighty. He knows. Right? I mean, I'm saying that can be done. This says that I should be holy and without blame before Him. In love. Now, how is that? What is it I got to do?
Yeah.
Well, but look, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. He declared me to be that when He predestinated me, when He chose me.
Yeah.
He chose that I be this. That's what election ain't just said. God said, all right, that one goes to heaven, that one goes to hell. Them two goes to heaven, and them three goes to hell. That one there, let me wait on him. Now, I didn't say that ain't what election's about. God chose that we be holy and without blame before him in love.
Amen.
Now, how's that to take place? Look, verse 6 tells us. Now, and I left off part of verse 5 for a reason, but let's read verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his what? Grace. Now, grace, real, true, scriptural grace means this: unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor of God.
Yes, sir.
You don't get it by faith. You don't get it by repentance. You don't get it by baptism. You don't get it by nothing you do.
Exactly.
Look, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
You see, I stood before God holy and without blame in Christ before the foundation of the world.
That's it.
And so did you, if he chose you there.
Yes, sir.
So do you. Because he says in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Now that, a lot of, we can go into a lot of the Greek, but you know what to be adopted as a child means, don't you? Here's a person who in and of themselves is not a part of the family, right? But someone by their own decree says, I take that one.
Yep.
Right? And they bring them in and make them a part of their family.
Yes,
now right there, he said he predestinated us unto that, didn't he? You know, that's not hard to understand. It's just impossible to believe and bow to apart from the spirit of the grace of God Almighty in Christ. I mean, when a man can read that and then has to go to another scripture somewhere trying to explain that to you, he's trying to explain it away. Because it means what it says. And it says of this predestination, this choosing, that he did this, what? Last part of verse 5, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Amen.
To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Somebody said, well, then I don't need faith. Not for that you don't. That's already gone. That's already done. There's nothing you can do about it. That took place before the world began.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing you can do now that's going to change what God did then.
Exactly.
Somebody said, well, boy, if I just sin a whole lot and I just hate God. That's all Tarsus did, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
He hated Jesus Christ with every particle of his being. And he would have killed Christ personally if he could have. But since Christ was already in glory, he didn't even really believe that, of course. What did he do? He went after his people. He went after Christ's people, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
He held them into prison. He was a murderer of Christians.
Yes, sir.
But you know what? God said he's mine.
That's right.
And I'll have him. And he did.
Amen.
You see, when God works on you, eventually you end up crying this, Lord, what will you have me to do? Don't you? Eventually, that's what happens. These people come along with, here's a good phrase. Be careful that you don't sin away your day of grace. Bless God, that's one thing that sin cannot do is sin away the day of grace.
Exactly.
Because where sin abounded, grace did what?
Much more
abound. Now get off my back with that crap. And that's what it is. Crap.
That's it.
It's lies on God.
Amen.
That's where it belongs, out there in the pile, on the dung heap.
Exactly.
Let's be honest. It's lies on God.
Yes,
no, but no. We got to be tolerant. No, you don't tolerate false doctrine.
That's exactly right.
You don't do it. You don't tolerate false doctrine. Again, I say faith looks to the Son, comes to the Son, diligently seeks the Son. It seeks to honor Christ as he is.
Yes, sir.
not as the flesh wants him to be. But let's read on. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now here's something, I know people don't say this, most people don't get this. My sins and your sins, if you're one of God's elect, was dealt with 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died on that tree.
Amen.
That's it. My sins were forgiven then.
Amen.
What people don't like about that is this. That teaches there is no other alternative to that than this. Whoever Jesus Christ died for will be saved.
Amen.
Right? And that's why they don't. That's why they can't say that. They say Jesus died to make it possible. This book don't say that. No, it says that before he even ascended, he purged our sins.
Amen.
Right? He said he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and he sat down expecting till his enemies be made his footstool.
Amen.
I'm saying that the necessity of faith is this. It believes Jesus Christ did what this book says he did. And when he died on that tree, he reconciled me. He justified me. All of these things were accomplished by Christ. Faith, again, I said, time's about gone. Faith looks to Christ.
Yes, sir.
Faith doesn't look to faith. I mean, I've asked people, I've had kin folks. These are decent people. Okay? Some of them are more decent as human beings than I am. Okay? They're better humans and people and neighbors than I probably am. Okay? I'm not talking about some child molester here now. I'm talking about decent people, Alan. But you ask them, what's your hope? And they're serious. They say, oh, I'm a believer. I think, it's an awful soft foundation to stand on, is it not? Because there's many instances of believers not really having it, isn't there? I mean, time after time after time. It says that some people under Christ's own preaching, they heard Christ himself preach, and it says, this is what the book says.
Yeah.
So I take it means what it says. They believed on him. But those same people, just a few moments later, wanted to kill him.
Yes, sir.
So believing's not a very firm foundation, is it? Here's a firm foundation. If Jesus Christ died for me, I'm his.
Amen.
If Jesus Christ died on that cross for my sins, they're gone. If Jesus Christ shed his blood for me, he bought me.
Yes.
Oh, but that kind of leaves us just hanging there to what? Faith. Don't it? It just shuts you up unto faith. I got to trust God.
Yes, sir.
Right? But I want some kind of proof. God said no. The only proof I'm going to give you is faith itself. That's what Hebrews says, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the only evidence God's going to give you that's true for you. You know, why is it that, you know, you read all these passages, is it because there's this sense of a person is shut up unto faith? And you hear the Lord making statements like these, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, if they were depending on their goodness and their faithfulness, why is it? They know it, right? Why? Because their goodness and their faithfulness ain't no foundation.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? Our Lord said this. This is so, it's to me, it's mind-boggling is not the word. I don't mean it that way. I don't mean it's some kind of mystical thing. I mean, it's just so deep. I mean, it's so packed full of truth in just a short phrase. But when our Lord told the disciples, he said, when you have done all that it is your duty to do, you've done everything you're supposed to do. You are to confess what? I am an unprofitable servant. Because the truth is, nothing we do can make us accepted before God, even if it's good things. Even if we're doing what God said for us to do, that don't cut it. Christ is the only thing that cuts it. That's why you say, I'm an unprofitable servant. Now, some wicked, Christ-hating, ungodly person comes up to you and wants to start pointing out your faults. Just tell them, shut up. Take it to God. That's right. Take it to God. Convince him of it. Because according to what I read, and I had it wrote down there, let me read it. This last verse. I like this one. It's Romans chapter 4. You see, this gives me hope. This is Romans 4, verses like 5 through 8. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly.
Amen.
Notice it doesn't even say the believer. Now this person is a believer.
Oh, yeah.
He believes on God, right? But it says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. I can relate to that. That's what I am.
Yes, sir.
I'm an ungodly person. I know that.
Yeah.
And I could be one of those, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Right? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Amen.
Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And here it is, right here. Look at it. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Amen.
That's the kind of person I got to be right there. That's the person I got. An ungodly person that God says, I will not impute his sin unto him.
Amen.
Right there's some safety, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
That's some safety. Father, I pray that you be with us as we part our separate ways. May we be mindful of one another. May we be thankful for the time, this time we've had together, and Lord, to pray for one another. Desire one another's company and fellowship, communion. Lord, I pray for many others, many other things, Lord, other troubles, that even in our small group, difficulties that people have to go through. Lord, keep our hearts and minds stayed together on the person and work of thy Son, for I ask it in his name. Amen.